About 3 or 4 years ago, Mark Overhaze showed the Gardner Hype Cycle curve at the Syndromic Surveillance Conference when it was in Seattle. And I think it really resonated with the group, not in terms of adoption, but in terms of what people thought it was going to do. If you remember back to the first couple of conferences in New York City, there was a lot of excitement. We're going to find all these outbreaks really early. I think the experience proved that it wasn't going to be so easy. It was going to be harder to do that, and so there was some disillusionment, and then the coming back out of that, it's the sense that syndromic surveillance may have uses well beyond its intended purpose initially for early event detection. So I think, at least for that audience, the Gartner hype cycle really resonated. Not that people were jettisoning their syndromic systems when they were on the down curve, but in terms of the sense of enthusiasm and optimism and excitement, there was that phase of disillusionment.
Very interesting. Very interesting question.
Okay. So we'll take some more questions at the end. So next presenter is going to be Joe Gibson. He's from University of Indiana. He's going to speak about Indiana COE, and we also have other people in the audience from Indiana COE too. So we've been working on several different projects. So we'll take the questions, few questions after his presentation.
Yeah, hi, I'm Joe Gibson. I'm Director of Epidemiology at Marin County Health Department, which serves Indianapolis. And I'm going to focus on the interactions we've had with Indiana University, the Regent Street Institute, and the Indiana Health Information Exchange, and what has worked, where we found successes, and what about that dynamic has allowed the successes to occur, and where we haven't. A little background, the Regent Street Institute and the more recently formed Indiana Health Information Exchange delivers laboratory results to over 90% of the physicians in central Indiana. It's hard to know what the denominator is for this, but they touch just about all the physicians that we deal with. Their system allows access across the healthcare providers in central Indiana at the emergency department. So when somebody walks into the emergency department, that provider immediately has access to that person's full record about the medications that they're on, about their background, information that's useful, and not just from the system of the ED that they're visiting, but from all the hospital systems in central Indiana. They link many systems together. They've got some central storage of the data. They've got a very strong research mission, and they take advantage of that data for a lot of research projects. So that's kind of Regent Street and what formed the basis of the Health Information Exchange. And then in Marin County, we've had a director, Dr. Kane, who's very invested in informatics. She's got a big vision. She's not a technical person, but she knows where she wants to get to. She knows what she wants the world to look like. And she's supported that with money. She's made sure at the health department that we've invested in systems and improving our systems, on making our systems more unified, and helping actually to found what became the Indiana Health Information Exchange. The health department was part of the group that funded that. And she's just active within informatics within the community. So that gives us a really rich soil in which to grow the successes that we've had. Key moments in history. This is from the public health perspective. I kind of wonder what Sean's going to think about what I think is important about Regent Street's history. In the 70s, Regent Street developed an electronic medical record for the public hospital in Indiana, for Wishart Hospital, which is actually within the same organization as the health department. In the 90s, the health department, the hospitals, the five major hospital systems in Indianapolis got together, and they formed what became the Indiana Health Information Exchange. The core thing operation that they wanted to do was to decrease their cost of delivering laboratory results. So instead of using the postal service and paying for the paper and the mailing, they went to an electronic system that delivered, where all of the laboratory results from clinical laboratories, from LabCorp, from the hospital labs, everything was going into one place, the Regent Street Institute, and then being disseminated out to the doctors. And so we established this network that contacted over 90% of the doctors in central Indiana to deliver them their lab results, and it created an infrastructure upon which many other things could be built. And they also established this emergency department system where people could get access to multiple systems information at the emergency department for 24 hours after somebody visited. In 1995, public health began to receive the reportable disease laboratory results. I think it was 95. So Regent Street's getting all these laboratory results. They're able to filter for reportable diseases and deliver positive lab results for reportable diseases to public health. So we've been really privileged in being able to get the huge number of positive labs for reportable diseases for all of our population for a long time. 2005, we started doing syndromic surveillance, and Regent Street was the place that gathered all the ED information and then channeled it to the State Health Department and to the Essence system to analyze it. And then in 2008, the Regent Street got a significant grant to work directly with public health on improving informatics. That was the Accelerating Public Health Situational Awareness Grant. That grant lasted about 3 years. And then in 2009, they got the Center of Excellence grant. So these were the two, and this was a very important in our progress. Up to that point, we had people at Regent Street and at Indiana University who were very willing to work with public health and to improve public health through informatics, and they had this great infrastructure to do it. But they also always had 100 other projects that they're working on, and those other projects were funded. And so the progress we tended to make was a little bit on the side. We could get a little time. We had this little problem, and maybe they could just tweak something and provide a solution for it. But they didn't have funded resources to focus on the public health problems until we got this big grant in 2008. And then the interactions we had and the progress we made accelerated greatly. And that's a lot of what I'll tell. So I could stop now, and that's the main point. No, that's not all the main point. So some of the successes that we've had. We are delivering public health alerts to physicians, taking advantage of the infrastructure that the laboratory results delivery system has. It was kind of serendipitous. We got that big situational awareness grant and started to develop the system where we could deliver a notice through the same system labs where the doctors got their laboratory results, and H1N1 came around. And so I think it was a week or two into the H1N1 pandemic that we delivered our first public health alert through the system. We've got it now so that usually takes, I don't know, probably less than 20 minutes from the time we hand our message to Regent Street to the time it's in the inboxes of most of the doctors in our community. So it's essentially no time at all. They may not see it until whenever in their process they look at their lab results for that day, but we get the message out incredibly quickly with great coverage on our community. ED data for syndromic surveillance, Regent Street was already working with a lot of these systems, so setting up that was probably easier than it was in many communities, at least in central Indiana. At least setting up in central Indiana was, and since then they've set it up throughout the state. Some of the kind of more fun things we're doing, or some interesting things we're doing, is TB case follow-up. We've had a TB outbreak in the homeless in our community, and so we'll do a screening. We've had some events to provide services for the homeless, and we've done screening of those. And through the screening, we find people are positive, and so we have to do an X-ray. But the event's over, and this is somebody who's homeless, so we need to find them to do the X-ray. We've worked with the system that Regent Street has to provide information to all the hospitals so that at least at one of our hospitals, when one of these homeless people shows up to register for a service or appears within their system, an alert comes up on the screen and says, get an X-ray of this person, so we can do a follow-up on this tuberculosis screening that we did. And it's caught us two people so far. The outbreak involves about 20 people. We're expanding that now, and I can't remember the specific details, but there's other people that we need to screen. There's about 100 people we need to screen, and so we're expanding that alert to include those people as well. And we're also trying to expand it to include more of the hospitals. Another big success is just the shared experience. As we build systems within the health department, we've got this group that's very expert in informatics, and we ask them questions. We've been bringing up the MIRTH data exchange engine, and they've been using it. So as we bring it up, we say, how do you guys do this? How do you guys do that? Can we borrow some of your code for this or that? And are able to move a lot quicker than we could otherwise. I doubt we'd have implemented Mirth if they hadn't already been working with it at Regenstrafe. A lot of the advances have been because they've got this great laboratory results delivery system. So back in 95, they developed a system for filtering out reportable disease results from the electronic laboratory data stream that they had. Recently, through some of these larger grants, we've been able to refine that. I would say we, it's usually just them. We've been able to refine that, put it on a better platform, but also make a much better interface for configuring the system and working with the system, and then do a lot of work on the logic that's screening those laboratory results to pull out the ones that we want. So there, we've got biweekly meetings now where we tell them, and we've got a trouble ticket system where we say we're getting too many of these results, there's something wrong with the filters, we're not getting that result, and we'll go in and we'll play with the logic and improve that logic. One of the things our nurses love is that we've got better physician contact information now in those electronic lab results. Electronic lab results usually don't have a lot about the provider, but we've got a HIE that passes those to us. And so as those results go through the HIE, they attach on the physician contact information. And now the nurses have much better information to follow up on that case, on that reportable disease case. They've also been enhancing it with patient information because it's an HIE. They've got a lot of information about these cases. They do some matching, some linking, and they pull in the patient and physician information. Our nurses' job becomes much easier. We've been improving the way we transfer the data. The state health department has solved that with Regenstrafe, and we're still working on it a little bit. But we're trying to get incremental updates to a huge database. And we are working to get additional information. When we get a case report for hepatitis, we want to get some other laboratories, some liver enzyme labs, to figure out whether it's an acute or a chronic case. And so we've got an agreement with Regenstrafe that we can get that information. We're working on the system now to attach that to the other laboratory results, so we have more complete case information when we get that lab. And then we've got a couple of projects going on. Something I'm pretty excited about. I'm hoping we're about to hear that we got a grant to fund this. When we get a positive lab result for a reportable disease, if we get this money, we will be providing the providers with the case report form partially completed. So we know they've got a positive lab for chlamydia. Their patient has a positive lab for chlamydia. We'll fill in the information on the case report form, saying the patient's name, that it's chlamydia, the laboratory information. We'll fill in as much as we can and send that to the provider, again, through the same laboratory results system. So they'll get the lab result, and right behind that, they get a form they can print out and either toss because it's not really a case or it's already reported, or they can complete that form and fax it back to us, and now we have the case report. So the grant is to evaluate that, do an evaluation and see how that affects the reporting. We're working with them to deduplicate the core population health database we have at the health department, and moving toward implementing a master patient index within the health department. As we try to figure out what that means for us and how we'll use that, we've been working with them. They're very expert on matching data. It's an HIE. That's kind of what they're all about. So we just learned from them about what the approaches are, and we're looking at possibly using their master patient index as our master patient index and figuring out if that's feasible, or if we'll just stand up one locally within the health department. And we're asking to get more enhancement of reportable disease case information. We want to be able to, when we get a positive lab, we'd like to go into their system and get more information about that case instead of having to call the hospitals. So the hospital infection control people are very excited about this possibility, that we won't be calling them on the phone nearly as much. We have one hospital where we can already do that, and we bother the infection control people much less often because we can just go into the system and get the information we need about the case. We're trying to expand that right now. Some of the things that haven't been successes, we would really like to use the data that they have for a community health needs assessment, but we just haven't been able to get the funding to support that. and it takes resources to play with the data and figure out what's feasible. We are working to get our health department laboratory data into the health information exchange. It requires crossing over our local codes to link codes so it can be put into the database. And that's in progress, but on both sides, they had larger labs that they were bringing in, and so we were lower on the priority list at first. Then they're working on it, and our lab has some staff changes, and we don't have the people to help them make sure the crossover is correct. So that's just been a slow process. It's going to happen. It's just been a little slow. And we'd like to assess a lot of this stuff we're doing. I mean, we've done a lot of interesting things, but we don't have a lot of good studies to show what their value is or to evaluate them. And all of these setbacks and challenges are because of not having funds, not having resources. The community needs assessment will happen if and when we get a grant to make it happen. The lab data has gone slow because it's all a labor of love. I mean, we're not paying them any money to do this. So they do it when they can, but they've got lots of great projects, and a lot of them actually have funds. And again, the assessments, there's not funding for it, so it's hard to get the resources to do, especially do a good assessment. I mean, it takes resources, it takes planning. So why have we had these successes? First of all, is that we have a shared goal. We both want to improve public health. We both want to leverage the health information exchange and the resources there to improve public health. And no matter what the conversation is, we can always go back to that root unity. If we have disagreements, we can have disagreements, but we know we are both dedicated to this goal. And so it's a shared mission, and it makes a lot of things just move. There's a task commitment we have to work together. We recognize that we each have different expertise. We know we know that we're helping each other. We know that we help Regenstrief when we make their operations more valuable, and they know they help us when they make our operations more effective. We also talk frankly to each other. I mean, we know what we need, and we tell them what we need. And if what they're giving us is not what we need, we say, this is not what we need. And if they give us something that isn't going to be useful to us, we say, this isn't going to be useful. If they say, we could do this and that for you, it's a cool idea. And we're like, yeah, but, you know, we're not going to use it. So, you know, it's not worth pursuing. One thing I've learned, coming into this, boy, I just wanted to get open access to their database and start going to town to improve public health. And I've learned that you make improvements by incremental changes. They're not going to open up their database to me and just let me kind of wallow around and have fun in there. You got to have specific projects. You say, this is what we're going to do, and this is the value we're going to get out of it. And you do that project, and you have a small win, and you build trust, and you build understanding of their data oversight committee that, you know, we've got good value that we can get out of this. You don't try to buy the elephant right from the start. You just build toward it, or eat the elephant from the start. And a big reason for our successes has been our frequent interaction. We have periodic meetings. We get people who understand our operations, and that's not always me, to talk to their people who understand their systems. And as they talk, they say, oh, well, we could do this for you, or, you know, maybe you guys could do that for us. There may be low-hanging fruit out there, but it's not like, you know, there's a tree in the middle of the field and you can just see the low-hanging fruit all around. You gotta have people talking to each other to reveal that low-hanging fruit, to reveal those opportunities. And that involves having people who understand the practice and people who understand the systems talking to each other, and then they spot the opportunities. And they spot those opportunities through just conversations. It's not through, you don't have a plan to, okay, we're going to have a meet and reveal the low-hanging fruit. It's just because you're talking about stuff and things come up and you notice, oh, what the opportunity is, and you pursue it. The other big reason for success is funding. When there wasn't dedicated funding to have them work on public health issues, our progress was very slow. We had some great things, but it was very slow. When we got major funding, we started meeting more often, because we had time to meet more often because we were paid for the time that we were meeting. And we made good progress. And they could put resources toward these projects, and we could put resources toward these projects. So we had the Situational Awareness Grant, the Center of Excellence Grant. And then I don't know what happens when we lose funding. There's going to be a decrease in the Center of Excellence Grant funding, a pretty dramatic decrease. I don't know what the future is going to bring. I know it's going to bring less interaction because I can't charge as much time to a grant to work with them. And I've got lots of other responsibilities, and they're not going to have as much time to spend with me because they've got lots of other responsibilities and they just don't have the funding behind it. I know the interaction is going to decrease, and so the chance of spotting those opportunities is going to decrease. I know we'll continue to work together to seek grants. I've got no doubt about that, and we benefit each other when we do that. And we'll look for piggyback opportunities, which is kind of what happened before there was funding. There's something going on, and you know, maybe there's something we could do for public health on it. And they'll be better at spotting those now because we've worked closely together and they understand us better. But the progress is just going to slow down greatly without dedicated public health funding. So lessons learned, find opportunities to interact with your university colleagues, with your HIE. Share ownership in the grant applications. If you're public health, you don't want to just be writing the letter of support. You want to be involved in the writing of that grant. You want to have some of that grant money go to somebody in your shop, supporting, you know, part of an FTE, so they're required to interact with the people at the HIE or the university or whatever. You want to have periodic meetings. I mean, it's all about, so much of it is just from serendipitous comments in meetings that we have, and people start to recognize opportunities that nobody was thinking about before. Accountability that we bang on them every so often and say, you know, all this stuff is great, but we got the nurses saying, you guys are spending all this time with Regan Street. What are we seeing from it? You know, it's been a year and you've been talking about this thing and we haven't seen anything about it. We really need to make sure that we have our priorities right, and they understand what we need, and that every now and then there is a win that we can show to the public health people and say, look, here's the value you're getting out of this. We do want to ask, what have you done for me lately? I mean, that's an important attitude to keep on the table, that we need to keep delivering value. We need to have things that deliver value. We need to point to something every year that has been an improvement. And love and money. This is where a lot of it comes from. You need the money. You need the fuel. The money is the fuel that allows people to spend the time that they need to make this progress. The setbacks we have, the things that go slower because of lack of people's time. And you need the trust and respect. That's the oil that makes all this move smoothly and quickly. You need to understand each other. We need to understand their motivations, what their guiding principles are. They need to protect that data set. They need to have their data providers have no doubt at all that that data is very secure, and they're not going to share it without being very careful about how it's shared. We need to understand what their motivations are. They need to publish. And we talk to each other knowing that I've got expertise that they need, and they've got expertise that I need. So there's a lot of respect, and there's a lot of readiness to listen, and there's a readiness to be able to hear the other person disagree and know that there's something important if they disagree that we need to work out, and that'll advance us. So that's my summary of why we've had some success in Central Indiana.
Thank you, Joe. We will take a couple of questions, but I also wanted to thank you. Notify one of the projects that you mentioned in your things is Regan Streif not only implements all of these things, they also create the standards and make it easier. And I know standards adoption is hard, but you all have shown actually not only create the standards, implement them, and provide feedback from public health department to the standard organizations, and also have shown other sharing the same thing with other public health departments. So because everybody have to do the same notifiable conditions in every state, sharing the process and sharing the resources, that's a really great thing. One of the things I noticed actually was that in that example was a lot of vendors now with the meaningful use and all of these resources, academic institutions, if they could get involved more with the vendors and others who are trying to do these ones, it would make it easier so people can take, even if they can't use the entire piece of it, at least they can take the infrastructure aspect of it or content and try to integrate with their products. So I'll take just we can take a couple of questions.
Hi, I'm Paulina Sokolow from Drexel University, and I'm on the academic side. And the public health departments are rather opaque to us. And my very practical question is how to arrange the funding for employees of public health departments. How does that work? It's easy to write them in on the grant, but on the public health side, how does that work?
In our health department, it's a real pain in the neck. Everybody who's partially funded has to do an hourly tracking. So I track the hours, and we do every two. It's you have to retrospectively report how many hours you spent on the grant versus on the general fund, and I think that's essentially required through a lot of the federal rules. So we have a hard time actually with some of our departments getting them to take partial FTE funding to be on a grant because it's just a pain. They'd rather just get a paycheck and not have to do these this hour splitting. Is that what you're asking about?
Right. That's the mechanics. But before that, how does an academic person make it attractive to the public health department to partially free up somebody who's working really hard in the public health department to work on a research grant, knowing it's possible money and it's definitely temporary money?
It's got to be worth their time. The way we do it is I've got kind of a researchy background, a PhD. So I'll talk to the guys at Regent Street and understand what they're looking for, and then I'll go back to our side and say, look, this will be worthwhile to you. We're going to get something out of this.